Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
When it comes to heating and cooling, experience makes the difference. Harold Floyd Heating and Air is the Delta's trusted Lennox dealer, providing expert installation, repairs, duct cleaning, and more. Call today for your free estimate at 662-543-3321. Harold Floyd Heating and Air, keeping you comfortable in every season.
Welcome in on this Sunday edition of the podcast. My name is Michael Borky. We are officially on the other side of summer. I don't know if you guys knew that today, the longest day of the year. We're going to start losing daylight a little bit as we get closer and closer to football season. So I hope you enjoyed your Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all of you out there. Really appreciate you being here. And let's talk some Ole Miss football. Got some over-under win totals that came out, and Ole Miss was low, and I would like to talk through why that is on this edition of the show. So that's what we're talking about. I know there's been some recruiting stuff with baseball and football. Now, I guess the football recruiting hasn't popped quite yet, but it's about to, and then baseball portal stuff is happening. But that's what I want to focus on tonight, and I'm really glad that you guys are here on this edition of the show. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just search the name wherever you get your podcast, and you can find it there. Just search Rebel Report. And also right here on YouTube, like, subscribe, leave a comment, all that good stuff. And yeah, you can be a part of the show that way. This edition of the show is brought to you by Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo, Mississippi. They've got everything, and I mean literally everything that you need under one roof. Anything that you need, home improvement, appliances, anything for your garden, anything for your hunting property, your land, your backyard, doesn't matter what it is, they've got it for you. And most importantly, they've got 0% on all of these things, varying months, but the rate is 0%. Anything that I'm about to say is at 0%. Zero-turn mowers, 5-series tractors, compact tractors, commercial mowers, all at 0%, all from John Deere at Scruggs. And, you know, you got to break the bank a little bit with this interest rate. 1.9% for the John Deere Gator as well. Go by and see them. 3575 Tom Watson Drive in Saltillo, Mississippi. That is Scruggs there for you. So you had these released. It was BetMGM that put these out there. And you're going to get updated ones and ones that change periodically all throughout the offseason. But these are the most recent ones, and the initial observation that I had was that they are just low. They're small, all of them. Not a single team in the SEC had an over-under total of double digits. I'll go through them quickly, and then we'll talk about it for a second. Georgia and Texas each at 9.5. Alabama, LSU, A&M all at 8.5. Ole Miss at 7.5 alongside Oklahoma and Tennessee and Florida. Missouri, Auburn, South Carolina at 6.5, Vanderbilt at 5.5, Kentucky and State and Arkansas all at 4.5. Again, all seemingly kind of low, to be honest with you. But the question that I had when I saw this is, well, there's two things. The first one is I've talked about it a good bit. You guys have heard me rant about it, especially those of you that listen to the radio show at Sports Talk Mississippi. You've heard me talk about this a lot. The SEC moving to 9 conference games this season is going to be something that has been under-discussed this offseason. And when November comes, we're going to look back and realize that, I mean, some of us knew it was a mistake at the time. We're going to look back and realize that when the SEC went to 9 conference games, that was a massive mistake. Because, I mean, you know, I'm not a math guy, right? Nobody would call me smart. But I do know that when you add an extra conference game for everybody, only one team can win those extra games. But that means the other 8 would have to lose that extra game. And so, therefore, the SEC is going to add 8 conference losses to its teams this season. I think the math works out on that. I'm being a little sarcastic, of course. But the league has decided to add 8 losses, conference losses, to its league. And they can't all be Arkansas. They can't all be Mississippi State.
that extra conference game is going to be such a mistake. And it's been talked about it some. I've talked about it a lot. I don't think it's being discussed enough because, as we have said many, many, many times, at least in the 2 years of the 12-team playoff, it is abundantly clear that the committee, in the 2 years anyway, did not value strength of schedule. The SEC made its schedule more difficult. They've reduced the number of wins the league is going to have, and they did not get anything in return for that. Remember the talking point last season? I mean, I'll be at SEC Media Days this time next month, just a few weeks away, and I remember the talking point there. We had the director of the College Football Playoff. We had Greg Sankey. We had those conversations one-on-one, and the talking point was that the committee is now going to put emphasis on strength of schedule. They didn't do that. How do we know they didn't do that? Look at how they ranked the teams and who got in, who didn't, all that stuff of the last 2 years. Wins mattered the most. Just get to the right number of wins before you play the more difficult schedule. And so that is part of this as well. Just conference-wide, that's how you have no teams with double-digit wins in this. Because somebody's got to lose all these games. They're going to play each other. And again, they can't all be Arkansas and Mississippi State. These teams are going to lose these games. And the SEC, what a self-inflicted wound. You've had the chancellor at Ole Miss, Glenn Boyce. You've had John Sumrall. So you've had a coach and a chancellor on record say that they would not have voted the way they did had they had the correct information at the time that they were not going to get an expanded playoff as a result of going to nine conference games. My thought was at the time, okay, if they're going to nine, that means they guaranteed that they are going to get the 16-team playoff, which makes the money that you're getting from the extra conference game worth it. The more difficult schedule is worth it if you have more teams getting into the playoff. They didn't get that. And the league pushed back on that. But when you have a chancellor that voted and a coach on record say that they wouldn't have done this had they had the right information, that is a big problem. So the effects of that are going to get felt come playoff time. That is part of why these totals seem low. That is part of why Ole Miss's total seems low. So that's the first thing. But now the second thing is the Ole Miss side of it. And my question was, when I saw this, am I overvaluing what they have? Am I overvaluing the roster? Are we not having the right conversations around here about this team in particular? Should we be more cautious about what they have? What are we missing? What is the disconnect between the discourse here where it's a playoff team, right? That they have the roster that should be in playoff contention come Egg Bowl time. That's what I believe. But the odds makers do not seem to think so. You have this at 7.5. I saw another one at 8.5. That's a little bit more appropriate. If I were setting it right now, I think I would be in the 9 range, like Texas and like Georgia, as opposed to a 7.5 range. So are we overvaluing, and what is the reason for this total being so low? I don't necessarily think it's like a disrespect thing. I certainly do not believe it's the roster. You cannot convince me that this roster is multiple games worse than last year's. You guys know all of this already, but let's just go through it anyway. Quarterback back, the most valuable position on the field, a guy that generally doesn't make mistakes, is an outstanding leader, and by the way, a pretty outstanding quarterback as well, running a very similar system, one that fits his skill set. He has an entire offseason of being the guy. Him coming back, he's older. There's so much benefit to the offseason that Trinidad Chambliss has had anyway, but he's still there. Kewon Lacy's still there. The interior three in the running back room is still there. You have all the pieces up front on defense. This roster is not a 7-5 roster. You will never convince me of that. I think this roster is more top to bottom complete than last year's team. Top to bottom complete from a roster perspective. They did not invest heavily defensively last year, and they had some holes on that side of the ball last season. It was obvious. They had a low talent ceiling, especially at a couple of positions where they did not invest the way that they should have a year ago. They have rectified that. They invested more defensively. And I don't mean like emotional capital. I mean, they literally invested more on this year's defense than last year. And the talent on paper proves that. It shows that. So I don't think it's a roster thing. I thought about that, but no, that doesn't make any sense at all. When they're returning what they're returning, what they have at the most important position on the field, I don't buy that. That doesn't jive. So what is it then? And it is simply the unknown with Pete Golding and I think John David Baker specifically. I had somebody ask me during the radio show, you know, what is there to be concerned about with this team? You know, there's a lot of positives. The offseason is filled with positivity. That is really what we do. It's kind of our thing, is to just pump positivity in the offseason. It wouldn't be an offseason if we didn't do that. Nobody can lose a game in late June. But what would be the areas of concern? And it's John David Baker specifically, and him and that offense, him coaching against teams in the SEC that have better players. Now, he will have better players too than what he had to work with at East Carolina, but the coaching at this level is better. It's more detailed. There's more analysts. It's better. So you're coaching, your offense is being run against better players with better coaches that have more resources to stop it. I think his 2 years at East Carolina, while also coming from that Kiffin tree, are going to allow them to excel this season. And it's really hard to screw up the personnel that they have anyway. But that is it's a fair question. The tackle position I'm concerned about, that's another one mixed in there as well. So there's those two things. But quite simply, guys, to state the obvious here, which is what I think the only answer in this is, and it's the doubt that Lane Kiffin's gone and Pete Golding is there. It's just the doubt. I don't know what it's going to look like, so I'm going to err on this. And this is also betting odds, too. This isn't like prognostication or anything like that. That's what this is. And you're going to continue to get a lot of that this offseason, especially as there's more and more time for people to change their minds and more space to fill. You're going to get a lot of doubt. They're still going to be ranked somewhere in the top 20. I think closer to 10 than 20. Preseason, but I mean, I think Ole Miss would be the preseason number three team in the country had there not been a coaching change. And now they're going to be somewhere between 10 and 20. It's doubt. That is what that is. And that the beautiful thing about doubt is it's very easy to prove that wrong because you've got 12 games to do it coming up. But as I thought through it, I don't think we're missing something about the roster. I don't think we're missing something about the talent. I think there's just a general 30,000 foot view of, well, they don't have Kiffin, so I don't know what they're going to be. And look, they could be right. It could take a step backwards. I will tell you, and you guys know this because you watched it yourself, being somebody that has watched the program evolve over the last 6 years, there is no way that they did all that winning only because of one person. That can't happen that way. It doesn't work like that at all, especially when it's not a situation when all of the people that contributed to winning are no longer there. That didn't happen. Yeah, some staff members are gone. That is a real thing that happened. A lot of them are still there as well, including offensive line and quarterback coach, defensive coordinator, defensive line coach, et cetera, et cetera. You guys know that. Super experienced GM fills in the role for Billy Glasscock, and that's somebody that's been at Ole Miss before anyway, but Austin Thomas is highly regarded in the GM space. I mean, the staff and everything looks good, but most importantly, the roster building apparatus, if you will. I didn't think I'd be talking about roster building apparatus when I started doing this, but that is where we are in college football these days. It is incredibly sound, and you're seeing that as a result of the player retention, the portal class, and now high school recruiting. One guy can't do all of the things that Ole Miss did in this era, and the people that built that foundation, that helped build that foundation, are still there. So, yes, there's a lot of doubt. You guys are going to get sick of hearing about the doubt. You're going to get sick of that question. We've got a long way to go. I mean, there's still 70 days. No, I think it's 69 days as of today until week zero anyway. So that's a lot of space to fill. You're going to hear a lot about doubt, a lot about Pete Golding, never been a head coach before, all that stuff. And it's going to keep being the prevailing take around Ole Miss. But they have the roster to get it done, and I wouldn't be overly concerned about things like coach rankings and stuff like that. We talk about it here. I wouldn't be particularly worried about it. We'll continue on after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Logan Smith Shelter Insurance, 601-823-3500, 601-823-3500, anywhere in Mississippi. If you need auto, home, life, or business insurance, auto, home, life, or insurance for your business, give them a call. Even if you already have it, what's a five-minute phone call going to hurt? You're going to get a great rate. You're going to get award-winning services, literally. He has won awards for his insurance services. I didn't know that was a thing, but it is a thing, and he has done it. So give him a call, 601-823-3500. Don't forget to tell Scruggs and Logan Smith that it was me that sent you. Also, Priority One Bank, to make you their priority every day with their online banking platform. Local loan servicing and decision making, 16 locations here in Mississippi. Switch and bank with me at Priority One Bank, and also Advantage Business Systems, absms.com, for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. So, you know what the fun part is, by the way, of talking about sports in this era is the fact that Congress is involved. And that's always a fun topic, right? That's something that everybody loves. You guys know my stance on this by now, that I think that there is no reason that anybody should have confidence in those people figuring this out, right? For 6 years, leadership at the SEC and the Big Ten have been begging Congress for help and lobbying Congress for help, and spending a lot of money that has not been publicly reported. And it is frustrating me to no end. But what is especially hilarious and ironic, and whatever adjective you want to use, is when Congress does Congress things, and this is kind of a political statement, but I think all of you guys will agree with me on this, they don't do their own jobs well. They don't do their own jobs well. They don't do the politics well. They don't do civil services well. They don't do their own jobs well. And so they write this bill, and Ted Cruz, backed by the billionaire that can't keep his emotions in check on Twitter, that did all this stuff with Sorsby, that's who's backing all of this, writes this bill that doesn't favor the SEC and the Big Ten, and they release these statements about how they're disappointed, all this stuff. What I keep going back to is this is what you asked for. How do people in charge at the SEC and the Big Ten, who released a statement at the end of last week, I guess it was Thursday is when they did this, they released this statement disagreeing with this, and they're, this is what you asked for. How can somebody as educated as the leadership team at the SEC and the Big Ten not have seen this coming? How could you not have seen? But anyway, so what is going to happen, or what is currently happening, and I think Maria Cantwell, one of the senators that wrote it, is they're specifically targeting the SEC and the Big Ten. And she had a quote, and it's this right here. "What we did today is say we're not going to let the most powerful and richest conferences dictate to the rest of America what's going to happen to 500,000 athletes," end quote. That is such a gross mischaracterization of what the problem is. And that, again, is what's so frustrating about this, and why. I have talked for years and years with you guys and on the radio show about a breakaway and how that needs to happen. And I think that's coming, by the way. But that statement right there proves how unserious this entire operation is, because technically, Texas and Georgia and Ole Miss and LSU and Mississippi State play the same sport as Mount Union and Mary Hardin Baylor and Millsaps and Belhaven. They all play college football, but they don't play the same sport. And everybody knows that. But the people that are writing this bill want to treat the SEC and the Big Ten the same as Furman and the same as Belhaven. And they want to mush all of these together. They want to treat the quarterback like the golfer. And they're not the same. And they need to not be treated the same. But that's what this kind of bill is going to do. And the worst part about it is you have this framing now, the anti-Super League provision in this bill, which part of me wonders, what is the constitutionality of this anyway? Will this hold up against the Supreme Court where they have a provision in this bill? This bill that I still don't think is going to pass, mind you, but especially when they're targeting specifically the SEC and the Big Ten, who have members in, what, 25 states? There's no way that, and I think Roger Wicker was one of the no votes when it got out of committee. If a senator from Mississippi votes on this bill, they need not hold office anymore. Congress shouldn't be involved in this crap at all. But if one of your senators votes in favor of this, they don't need to be your senator anymore, because it is specifically targeting you. But this provision's the worst part about all of it. And again, I don't know how this holds up. I don't know how capping the income on legal adults without their say holds up, without some kind of bargaining agreement or anything. But still, they have this anti-Super League provision, which applies to leagues earning at least $700 million in revenue league-wide. So it essentially stops the Power Four conferences from expanding or joining together. It will hold them in place. And it would also, this bill, again, I don't understand how this would hold up in the Supreme Court, but if it got that far. But the provision would prohibit any outside entity from creating a conference or allowing them to pull media rights together. So like a third party creating a new division that the SEC and the Big Ten go play in. Do you know who this really harms, though? It's not the SEC and the Big Ten or the Pac-12 and the ACC. This harms a program like a TCU. Remember what TCU used to be and what they are now? Think about the ascension of an Appalachian State. What Appalachian State was. I mean, they were in the FCS. They were playing Furman every week. And now look at what they've become. There could be a path down the road for them to join the ACC. You think that's crazy? Look at what TCU did. Look at what Utah did. But that ends that possibility. That keeps the App States and the Boise States of the world, it keeps them down. It keeps Washington State and Oregon State, who Maria Cantwell is fighting on behalf of, allegedly, it keeps them down. It will never allow them to rejoin their old conference mates, their in-state rivals. That's what this would do, is it would block that. It would. They're saying that they want to prevent a Super League, but what they're preventing is growth among the other leagues to get to the highest level of the sport. So kind of rambling here, but that's the kind of stuff you invite when you invite Congress to do it. And you've got big media people at OutKick, for one, that were championing this thing in part because of political motivations. But this is really bad on a lot of levels. It's bad because you can't trust the people in charge of this thing. Don't even know if it'll hold up legally anyway. They're specifically targeting the SEC and the Big Ten, and they're treating Division I and Division III the same. They're treating the quarterback and the golfer the same, and now they're preventing an Appalachian State or a Boise State or a Washington State and Oregon State from getting to go play with the big boys again or for the first time. This is a disaster. But like I said at the start of this offshoot conversation, this is a disaster, but this was invited by the SEC and the Big Ten. They asked for this. So them being mad about this falls flat to me. I don't really want to hear it. When you involve Congress, this is what you get. A disaster is what you get. So what is best for the SEC and the Big Ten and schools they want to bring with them is a breakaway from the NCAA and creating an extra division. Let's be honest. I mean, the SEC and the Sun Belt technically play for the same championship, but they really don't play for the same they don't play for the same thing. So I've long believed that the group of now six conferences need their own championship anyway. This is that's the only way you're going to get your rules back. That's the only way, because these people are not serious. And the SEC not seeing this coming, leadership of the SEC not seeing this coming is a big problem to me. But anyway, I'm going to cut it off a little early tonight, guys. Just a couple of comments, so we'll get to those. You say Ole Miss could go undefeated 10 years in a row, and in year 11, Vegas will still put Ole Miss's over-under at 7.5 wins. You know, there is some, oh my God, your profile picture. Jesus, man, what are you thinking? My God. But there is some truth to that, that there is brand bias in these things. What Ole Miss has to do is just keep winning, though. Keep winning without Kiffin. That you can change that narrative quickly. You really can. Said it last week, and you'll repeat tonight. Give me the over. Another one. I'll take the over. Yeah, absolutely. That is, to me, barring relative health, a very, very easy bet. Very easy bet. Ole Miss over 7.5 should hit without issue. If it does not, though, barring relative health, if that does not hit, then buyer's remorse will exist. It will. If Trinidad doesn't get hurt and Kiwan stays healthy and they go 7-5, I think the contract would be prohibitive from moving on, but man, you would wish that it wasn't with the language that exists on there. So anyway. All right, guys. Long day. I'm beat. I'm going to go ahead and hang it up. I appreciate you. I'll see you on Tuesday night. Y'all have a good rest of your Father's Day, and I'll see you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.